Category is Bring It to the Runway. Category is stars, statements, and legends. Tens across the board. DJ, start the music.
This is Joe Morgan for Gaystar News. This is part one of our interview with Peppermint, runner-up of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9, transgender icon, drag queen legend, and the star of upcoming documentary Project Peppermint. Here we talk about our time on Drag Race, how she got her start doing drag, and coming out as a trans woman on television. Enjoy.
I feel great looking back on the show. I feel like, it, believe it or not, like when I was in the middle of it and preparing for it and auditioning for it was an arduous, stressful process, filled with uncertainty. Going through it was an arduous, stressful process, you know, filled with uncertainty whether I was going to get eliminated or win a challenge or the impression that I might make, you know, say something now, get punished for it later when it airs, kind of thing. And then now that it's over and you know, now that the show, the season has aired, and it's complete, it feels like it went by in a flash.
Because you filmed it in August last year, right? So that's a long time to kind of be living with the uncertainty of how it's going to all come out.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of variables. There's, you know, do I remember what I said? How is it going to be, you know, displayed? And then how is it going to be portrayed?
Yeah.
So there's so many different variables.
But, you know, and you came second. You know, you did amazingly.
I can't even, I mean, yeah, I would have not believed it. I guess there's no reason why I shouldn't, you know, feel like the strong woman that I am and that, yeah, I could have, obviously, I almost won. But, I mean, really, I was scared out of my wits, and I honestly didn't have that much confidence, self-confidence, that I would have made it so far in the competition. You know, I was confident in my own abilities, but, you know, it was a TV show.
Yeah.
And that's not wasn't really my ball game.
Because I know a lot of queens have said, you know, you can be great at drag, but not necessarily great at Drag Race.
I think it's like any other thing. You got to make good TV. And I did psych myself out. There's a TV show, I'm not sure if it comes on there, but there's a TV show called Unreal that is a scripted TV show about kind of the most unscrupulous reality show producers and kind of all the dastardly things that they do to manipulate the contestants on the competition. And so, of course, I binge-watched that, trying to get some, you know, do some research right before I left, like days before I was scheduled to leave to film Drag Race. So I completely, like, psyched myself into, like, thinking they're just immediately going to be out to get me. They're going to be gunning for me from the start. The whole purpose of me going is for them to find a reason to send me home. Like, that's kind of the headspace that I was in, and frankly, I'm not sure that no one else. I don't think I was the only one. You know, we were all kind of in the same headspace when you're new to this. Going back for something like All Stars, or going back even as Eureka has the grace to go back because of her injury, I think it would be a different ball game because you've gone through it.
Yeah.
But the first time through it, you know, it's really tough to know whether it's what you see is what you get or whether there's a whole different plan.
I want to go back a little bit, and because obviously we're talking about Project Peppermint, which the trailer looks incredible. And I just kind of want to... How did Project Peppermint come about? Where did it begin?
I was so busy as a drag queen that I realized recently that I just didn't have enough film and video. I wasn't building my scrapbook. So I didn't have any of those old, you know, video film pictures of and memories personally. And you know, I went from high school and then here I am, this almost mature woman, and I don't really have that many of my, I haven't documented any of my life. So because I was just experiencing so much of it and having so many great experiences that I forgot to kind of take it all in and write it down, which I think in retrospect is a disservice to myself. I was trying to live in the moment, but I was living too much in the moment. So it started as me kind of inviting a friend to help me start documenting different moments, big moments, shows, fun events, kind of a little bit of my crazy life. And that was actually more than a year ago. He and I, the director, Oriel, and I have been friends for several years. So he also filmed many of my music videos. He's even starred in some of my music videos. He was one of the first people that I came out to as trans years ago. So it just seemed appropriate to have him, you know, film a couple of my shows and things. And then one thing led to another, and we had more footage and more footage, and we realized this might actually make a good movie. And then I got Drag Race. And, of course, everything kind of, you know, it was like Alice in Wonderland, you know, little red pill, blue pill, whatever, and it just exploded.
What inspired you to start doing drag in the first place?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a tough question. I just felt so fabulous all my life, and I really couldn't figure out what kind of job or what kind of life I could lead feeling as fabulous as I did. I guess I could have been a fabulous police officer or a baker. or president of the United States, but I just didn't know kind of what I could pour all of that fabulous energy into until much later when I discovered drag. I knew that I loved to perform, and performing is like has always been my main passion. I've always been, you know, putting on shows in the living room. I remember when I was a kid, I rallied all of the neighborhood kids and basically went through my mom's closet and assigned them roles in The Wizard of Oz and had them just like wear things. I can't even believe my mom had like really hot, bad dresses that could like, you know, double as like the Scarecrow or the Tin Man. But she did. So, you know, and then I like got construction paper, yellow paper, and like made a yellow brick road through my apartment. And we had a performance. There was no audience. But we were just performing just to perform. So it was always in me. And it wasn't until obviously much later that I found a way to kind of connect that performance, my love of performance, with my love of moving the world, navigating the world as a woman and dressing as a woman and expressing myself as a woman.
Do you feel different? I mean, emotionally, philosophically or whatever. I mean, when you transform from Agnes to Peppermint, is there a difference in your perspective at all?
Well, full disclosure, you should know my name is actually not Agnes.
Oh, okay.
But Wikipedia, and I'm sorry, Wikipedia and the internet assigned a name for me. I do not know why or how.
That's so weird. Okay, I'm sorry. I have no
idea.
I apologize.
Somehow, someone decided that that whatever name I have is not suitable and it needs to be Agnes. So that's the name that I've been assigned by the internet. But I did not choose it. My family did not choose it. It's not. I'm not associated. Well, I guess I am associated with the name, but it's not my name.
So, what is?
And I generally choose to keep my. I share so much of myself, right? That I choose to keep my government name, the name that I use for my banking and cash and checks. I just try to keep that private.
Okay.
So I usually go by Peppermint all the time, which suits me very well.
Yeah.
But in terms of, to answer your question, in or out of drag, you know, I don't really think there's that much of a difference. Mm. I've always said it's pretty much the same person, which is a little bit more makeup and a little bit more sass.
I'm suddenly blown away the internet has given you a name.
No, it wasn't a setup, believe me.
Yeah, just blown away. But that's really interesting though. Because on the show,
I think my well, to kind of extrapolate a little bit, my initially drag was pretty much the only, you know, growing up as a little kid, I was told, of course, as a lot of little kids in my kind of age bracket are told, don't wear that, that's for girls, you can't wear that, that's the wrong color, you can't play with that. I was told no a lot when I would try to express what I wanted to express, which was a sense of femininity or femaleness or an attraction to things that are considered female. Mm. And so I heard that all my life. And then even trying to connect, I think, with the, back then, what we would have just called the gay community, today the LGBTQIA community, but just back then it was just the gay community when I was a teenager. Even that was seen as wrong, obviously. So there really wasn't anywhere for me to put my kind of female energy that people would accept it or clap or, you know, give me any type of, you know, support. Mm. Until I started doing drag.
Yeah.
So drag was definitely the tool and the catalyst for me to be able to kind of really realize who I am. Mm. In real life. Which is not Agnes.
Not Agnes whatsoever. I get you. I mean, yeah, on the show, you said you know, your drag friends didn't know you were trans. Your trans friends didn't know you did drag. I mean, when it all came out on the show, or whether you told them before, what was their reaction?
The reaction has been great. I think most of my friends knew that I did drag. Mm. But there were certain people in my life, particularly romantic interests, people who knew me as a trans woman, who I hid my drag from. Mm. So there was just, it was difficult. Of course, there were a few people that were overlapped, but for the most part, people that were interested in who I was as a drag queen really didn't want to accept, or it seemed like they didn't, were not ready to accept simultaneously that I was a trans woman. Mm. And then I was afraid of scaring off certain people who were interested in me as a trans woman by telling them that I also was a drag queen, because for, you know, there's a lot of, the simple end of it is, you know, we fight so hard for trans women to be recognized as women. So trans women are women, and drag queens typically are, in people's minds, men. So it's hard to explain to someone that you are, in their mind, a man and a woman at the same time, you know? And so it's kind of tricky and can take a lot more explanation when all you're trying to do is perform at a nightclub tonight or, you know, have a little quick makeout session with a really hot guy.
Yeah, because that makes sense. And I've seen online, like, you did get criticism for not dressing in more feminine clothes, whatever that means, in the workroom. How do you respond?
Well, the short end of it is, you know, a lot of people have opinions and they all have their right to their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But no one can really determine my womanhood or my trans womanhood except for me.
Mm.
No one can define it except for me. And no one can set the parameters except for me. That's it. But to shed a little light on what I was thinking, you know, it's, for a lot of people, it's just they're watching a TV show and then that's it. Mm. And what they see is what they think they get. But for me, I was balancing, you know, coming out to strangers, people in the workroom that I didn't know, the competition. I also had history to kind of, you know, there haven't been a whole lot of really successful trans women on the show who have come out on the show and then excelled on Drag Race or in any TV show. And so I knew what I was doing. The subject matter was not tested or proven. So there was some risk involved in in any choice that I would have made. So I decided to go at it the way that I would recommend anyone go at it. If you're going to come out, because there was a coming out happening there, if you're going to come out, then you need to make sure that the environment, the people you're coming out to, are safe and supportive, especially if it's a competition. And so I really wanted my drag to speak for itself. I didn't want to come in as the token to say, hey, everybody, I'm just trans. Mm. And then that's all anyone kind of knows me for. And I didn't want that to be used against me, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so interesting about dressing as, I mean, the practicality of it is, and the truth of the matter of it is, my body wasn't born the way that I maybe wished that it was.
Mm.
I'm taller, broader, I have a different shaped body. It doesn't have the types of attributes that most other women have without medicine or hormones or surgery.
Mm.
So just me, natural, may not be acceptable for some people when I say I'm a woman. But I had to face the fact that I'm a woman whether I have surgery or not. I'm a woman whether I wear a pink or a dress or a wig or not.
Mm.
And it would have been very nice to sit around and try to be glamorous 24/7. But at 6 o'clock in the morning, when you're doing a reality TV show call and you have to get up and go get ready to get in drag and dress like a cat or dress like a zombie or whatever the challenge is going to be, you're not worried about putting on an extra set of wig and makeup and another dress to take it off to put on another dress to do drag. You just want to shower and get out the door because I want to win the challenge. And focusing on, wait, guys, I need to paint my nails before everybody else gets into drag, would have been, I think, more of a disadvantage for me than an advantage.
Thanks for listening to part one of our interview with Peppermint. Don't forget to listen to part two. You can find it on the article page or on GayStar News' channel on Audioboom. Bring it to the runway. Bring it to the runway. Bring it to the runway.